Mark chapter 7, beginning with 31. And there's a lot of things that is going on in this passage of Scripture. There's a lot of things that we could point out, but I want to kind of focus on one aspect. And, of course, it's going to kind of correlate with our message tonight, just focusing on Christ and the things that He can do and His abilities and the things that He does in folks' life. So let's begin reading with verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseeched him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And he looked up to heaven, he sighed, and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is to say, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And were behold measured, astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And I'd like to consider that thought tonight, he hath done, or this morning, he hath done all things well, meaning Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for helping us. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have that we can come and spend some time in your word together. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help me. We ask that you meet needs of every person that are here this morning. And Lord, you know far more what we need and what we're in need of. And Lord, we just pray that you'll open our hearts to the sound of your voice. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. He hath done all things well. He hath done all things well. I'll be the first to tell you this morning that there are some things in my life I wished I could do differently. There's some things in my life that I wished I had the opportunity to do over. The decisions maybe that I have made in my past were maybe not the best. The direction in some aspects of my life, I wish that I would have chose a different direction now that I'm on the backside of those things. And so I guess in some ways, maybe we would all agree that there's some things that we would do differently. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, the Bible says in the conclusion of this event that had taken place, the conclusion was that he hath done all things well. Well, I think it's important for us to note this morning that in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8, the Bible says, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there should be no question that in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, he did all things well. And he's continuing to do all things well. But yet in that, there's going to be an impact in people's lives. There's going to be an impact. There were some that rejected him. There were some that didn't want any part of Jesus. There were some that didn't want any part of the ministry that he had as he walked and talked and ministered and preached. And there were some that rejected him. There were also some that in that rejection, they went one step further. And in the crowds, they cried, crucify him, crucify him. But yet there were some also that received him, They received His work. They received His person. They received Him. And there were many that glorified and praised Him. But all was impacted. And I don't think you can mention the name Jesus or the work of Jesus and someone not be impacted in some way or another. And it could either be a positive impact or a negative impact, but the bottom line is there's going to be an impact. But the Bible says, and the conclusion of this was that He hath done all things well. You see, this morning, based upon what the Word of God says and based upon what we learn and what we're being taught and the understanding of who Jesus is, that He makes no mistakes. Jesus makes no mistakes. He hath done all things well. But I think where the problem lies is that we as individuals don't understand all things. We don't understand why this person has this problem and this person has that problem and why you can have two farmers that's praying for their crops. One is praying for rain. One is praying for not much rain. And they both pray to the Lord, and one is answered to the where the rain comes, and the other, the rain has destroyed the crops. So the realization is there's a lot of things that we don't understand. And we don't understand the things that's happening. We don't understand a lot of the things that is happening in this world. We don't understand that the things that are happening to the point of we're wondering. And there's some people that might say, where is God? Where is He? We're limited with our knowledge, and we are limited with our understanding. But He's still God. And the realization that He has done all things well. And that's what is taken from this passage of Scripture. And what our focus is this morning is that He hath done all things well. He hath done all things well. So this morning I would like us to look into this passage, and I'd like us to consider a few things, and I would like us to visit this event and this life-changing event for at least one person and even those that had this realization that He had done all things well. And I'd like us to kind of look at that, and I would look on it as we were looking in to what was happening. That way we can draw our own conclusions based upon what the Bible says. I first want us to see the helpless condition of this individual. Verse 32 says, "And they bring unto Him," meaning Jesus, "one that is deaf, and one that has a speech impediment." In other words, his speech was hindered. And so they bring this one to Jesus. So what is revealed about this? Now, we could look at it simply and say, hey, they saw Jesus, they knew Jesus could do something, and so they brought Him there. But I think we need to look a little deeper into that and see and understand that this life that they were putting before Jesus, this person that they were putting before Jesus, was a life of dependence, was a life of dependence. And so as I was talking to the Sunday school class this morning, a lot of times I'll give them a preview of what the message is going to be about. And I asked him, I said, why would this be a life of dependence? And we have to look back in years gone by, and we were noticing at the camp meeting this week that there was an interpreter as far as someone doing sign language. And so they were up front of one of the areas that the people were sitting. And I'm not sure if it was just one person that couldn't hear or if it was two, but regardless of who or how many, the fact that someone was interpreting what was happening, whether in the song and in the messages, and someone was helping that person to be able to know what was going on. And so we have that now. There was very little of that back then. And so could you imagine, as we think about the dependence on this, the dependence that this person had, he was limited. And there's no doubt that he probably understood within himself that there was a need, but he didn't know how to help himself. And so that can, that's important for us to understand. The important thing for us to understand is that we, everyone, need help this morning. No matter what it is in our lives, no matter what's happening in our lives, no matter what obstacles we might have, no matter what hurdles we might have, no matter what life brings us, we need help. And our help comes from Jesus. Or at least it should come from Jesus. If we're trying to do things ourselves, we're always going to fall up short. But we need help from Jesus. And so this individual needed help. But the important thing in this man's case was that others knew he needed help. Others noticed that he needed help. Those in his life, we don't know the individuals. We don't know if they were relatives, friends, just someone that they saw on the street. But the realization is the fact that they knew he needed help. He needed help. And they brought this man to Jesus. And we see this life of dependence. And I was trying to imagine, as I was looking at this passage and studying this passage, and I was trying to imagine someone that could see, but someone that could not hear or speak. He couldn't ask what's happening. He couldn't get out, in other words, if he heard a commotion or saw a multitude of people as it was here, there was a multitude that were there because Jesus took him away from the multitude, but he didn't know what was happening. All he could see was something was happening and the focus was around Jesus Christ. Now I look at the condition in our world today. The condition of our world is they don't understand what we understand. They don't have a realization of who Jesus is. They don't have a realization of what Jesus can do. They don't have a realization. They are seeing, but they're not hearing, and they're not speaking. But they are seeing, which should help us to understand how important it is for us to live the godly Christian life that we need to live. Because they don't understand, but yet they see. They see. There are people in our life that is watching, but they're not understanding. Those that crucified Jesus, I don't believe truly understood who Jesus was. Nor do I think they wanted to understand. They saw on the surface that it was Jesus. They saw on the surface that he was messing them up and messing their thought process up, and they didn't like it. They saw on the surface that they just simply wanted him gone. And they set up mockery of a trial and put Jesus on trial, and there was no fault found in him, but yet they chose Barabbas over Jesus when the leader was saying, "Whom shall we let go?" They were blind. They were blind in their understanding, but they were seeing all that was taking place. They didn't understand who he was. They didn't understand what he was doing, and they for sure didn't understand that there was a plan for redemption. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew. And all that had taken place was orchestrated. And the words that I think in my heart and I echo from what the Scripture says is Jesus' heart when He says, hanging on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, Jesus knew. And Jesus understood. And there had to be a supreme sacrifice that was made. So we see a life of dependence as we look at this individual. We also see a life of despair. Despair meaning it had to be a discouragement that he couldn't hear and that he couldn't speak. It had to be a discouragement. He couldn't hear what was going on around him. And no doubt there were some days of loneliness. No communication. And I'm sure you that raise kids and children, before they could, learn how to talk, and before they talked, then they would get their message across to the parent on what they wanted. And one of the easy ways to get a message across is through crying. And it seemed like the mother would pick up a little faster than the father would when a child's crying and they're like, oh, they're hungry. Or they needed to be changed or they just needed to be held or whatever the case may be. And there was an understanding. Well, there was probably some moments in time that this individual would try to get his point across. But as far as communicating, it wasn't until that child learned how to speak and learned how to communicate and learned how to make sentences and all those things, that the realization that they understood. There were many times that my father would ask me the question, do you understand me? And I would say, yes, sir. It wasn't until I could talk that he knew that I understood. So many are living the same kind of life. They're seeing, but they're not understanding. They're seeing, but they're not understanding. They're living a life of despair. They're living a life of loneliness. They're living a life to where they're trying to put things in the place to try to find some kind of peace or try to understand some kind of, they're wanting something in their life. So we see a life of despair. We see a life of dependence. We see a life of despair. And we also see a life that others cared for. A life that others care for because they brought him to Jesus. And if we don't get anything else this morning, we need to care about other people. This world is focused on me, myself, and mine. The world is focused on their own achievements, their own accomplishments, and it doesn't matter what they do. It don't matter, you know, it doesn't have to be in the corporate world. It can be just in the world themselves, and they're all worried about themselves. But in this case, they were worried about the one that had the need. And they brought him to Jesus. They requested on the behalf of this one, they requested, and the Bible says, and they beseech him to put his hands upon him. So they beseeched him. In other words, they requested Jesus. He needs your help. But they also realized that they could do nothing themselves. You know, we can't force the issue. We can't force a person to do something against their will because if we do, it doesn't mean anything. But yet they were beseeching Jesus. They knew what Jesus could do and the fact that Jesus could help. They knew that Jesus could change things, and they knew the only hope that he had was Jesus. And that should be the same knowledge and understanding that we have this morning in life, that if anything's going to happen, Jesus has to do it. If anything's going to happen, Jesus has to change things. And that if anything's going to happen, and understand, if there's any hope at all, it must be in Jesus Christ. Anything else is going to always fall short. It's going to be man's ideas, man's thoughts, man's and all these things. It's not going to focus around Jesus Christ. A life of despair, a life of dependence, and a life that others saw the need for Jesus. And I'm grateful this morning that as we look at this passage of Scripture, Jesus heard their cry. Jesus heard their cry. And in verse 33, the Bible says, "And he took him aside from the multitude." That tells me this morning that he's concerned about the person, not the number. He's concerned about the person and not the number. The person. No longer could they do anything for this man. And there was a turning point in this man's life when Jesus took him aside. There was a turning point when Jesus took him aside from that multitude. And then notice what he did. He touched, or he put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and he touched his tongue. So I was asking the young people tonight, or this morning in Sunday school, I was asking the young people, you know, why did he use that method? Why didn't he speak as he calmed the winds, he calmed the sea? I asked him, I said, you know, there was others that the woman with the issue of blood just touched his garment. And there were some that he didn't even see. He just spoke and they were healed. And I think of the one whose child was sick and the one came to Jesus and the child wasn't even there. There was others that he went into a solitary place. And so there's all these different methods. And I asked him, I said, why do you think that was? And they gave some pretty good answers. But I don't know if it's about the method as much as it's about the person. And the reason I say that is because when we pray for someone that's in the hospital, you know, there's different ways, and you know individuals in your life that there's been times that doctors would say, well, this person has this, and then they would go in to recheck it, and in whatever that, whether it be cancer or something else, that would be gone. And there'd be other times that the doctors would use the knowledge of medicine, and Jesus would use that medicine, and he would use the knowledge of the doctors and those caregivers, and the individuals would be healed too. So I don't know that it's necessarily the method as much as our focus this morning is on the person of Jesus Christ. The person. And so, yes, Jesus spit and touched the tongue and stuck the fingers in the ears and he was healed. But there's something special that's about the touch of Jesus. And there's four things that I just want to make mention, and I'm just going to mention them. And that is one thing, it's a personal touch. It's a personal touch. When you're growing up, you know, you might have a large family and you might have a small family, or you might have parents that go to church or parents that didn't go to church. But the most important thing is that your relationship is with Jesus in a personal way, not a group. In other words, I had a brother-in-law that I was into motorcycles many years ago. When I was growing up, and it was before I ever got my license, and there used to be a motorcycle guy who raced motorcycles. And his name was Kenny Roberts. And my brother-in-law, and I don't know if he was telling me the truth. He lied to me half the time when I was growing up. So I don't know if he told me. But he told me, he said, "That's my cousin." Well, that's something that I wanted to believe. And you know something? We're going to believe what we want to believe. And we have to be careful. We need to believe what the Bible says. But so I would tell everybody. I mean, I didn't know this I didn't know this guy for nothing. And I would tell everybody growing up, "That's my cousin." I didn't realize that he wasn't my cousin. He was my brother-in-law's cousin. But because I was in the family, whether it's blood or not, he's my cousin. And so, you know, I've never met him. But I told everybody that. I don't tell everybody that now. But I did then. But I was trying to equate myself with this famous person that raced motorcycles just because I felt like they were in the family. But there was no relation. We must know Jesus in a personal way, not based upon what we think is an acquaintance. And so when Jesus touched this one, he took him aside, and Jesus touched this one personally. We must have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be personal. But also we see the change that took place in his life, and the change that took place was now he can hear and now he can talk, and so that's a definite touch. See, he had that definite touch. It was a personal touch, but it also needs to be a definite touch. Jesus is the one that touched him. You see, the friends could do nothing for him. The friends could do nothing for him. The only thing the friends could do, and I already made mention of that, the only thing the friends could do was get him to Jesus. But the friends couldn't change him. The friends couldn't, friends couldn't make a difference in his life other than get him in front of Jesus. And that's a definite touch. And then this is where it becomes very special to all of us, and that is it's an intimate touch. When Jesus touched him, Jesus wasn't looking at the multitude, but Jesus was looking at the man by himself. And when Jesus stuck his fingers in his ears, we might ask the question like we just asked a few moments ago, why did he use that method? Well, I'm not concerned about the method as much as the person that stuck his finger in his ears. And the fact that he spit and touched his tongue, that's a pretty intimate touch there. That's a pretty intimate touch. And Jesus was willing to do that. And I believe that Jesus is willing to touch a person no matter where they are in their life. And that's how much he wants that relationship, that intimate touch. And then most importantly, it was a powerful touch, because only Jesus could do that. Only Jesus could do it. Only Jesus could make a difference in this person's life. Jesus did what no one else could do. And Jesus changed a life. Jesus changed a life. And the conclusion of this wonderful event in this person's life, the conclusion of all those that were looking on said this: "He hath done all things well." It doesn't mean we're going to understand everything. It doesn't mean we're going to know everything. It doesn't mean we look out and we wonder, why did this happen or why did that happen? We're going to have times in our life that we're not going to know. That's where our faith and our trust comes in. That God makes no mistakes. I'm not sure where you are in life right now or where you might be in life right now. But I can promise you this, based upon what the Bible says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He can help you no matter where you are in your life. He can help you no matter what circumstance that you have in your life. He can help others in your life. We just need to be in front of Jesus. We just need to allow Him to work and pull away from the multitude and allow Him to work in our lives personally. So I don't know where you are in life this morning. There are struggles, and a lot of times we'll try to put on a happy face when we're not. A lot of times we'll cover up by doing other things when deep down we are hurting. And we'll try to, but when you get alone and you're by yourself and you get alone, then all the guards are let down and you need something. Well, I promise you this morning, coming to Jesus Christ, no matter what the need is, He will help you. And He will help you get through whatever it is that you're facing. You just must come to Him. And allow the multitude of whatever it is, get out of the way and allow Him to work and receive help. This man received help. And I believe that when you receive that help, you'll have the same conclusion. The testimony of Jesus, He hath done all things well. We're going to have our invitation here in just a few moments. And I don't know the heart, and I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what you're dealing with, but I promise you, God knows. But we must get to Jesus and allow all these things to take a back seat and be truthful and say to Jesus this morning, Jesus, I need help. And maybe you're trying to help someone. Maybe you're in that group that you're trying to help someone. Get them there and then pray for them and allow Jesus to work on those, on that heart, because He did something that no one else could do for this man, and He could do the same thing this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time together. And as we have this invitation, You know the heart of every single person. You know what we're struggling with. You know our ups and our downs and our struggles and our life problems and all those things. And You know, Lord, whether we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior. So Father, Lord, I pray this as we have this invitation, that we won't be worried about the multitude around us, but that we'll just simply come to You and allow You to become personal and intimate and allow You to be powerful in our lives, no matter what it is. And Lord, we stand back this morning. And if You've spoken to any heart this morning, I pray that they'll come. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What number do you have for us?